Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh yeah, we're getting back to a six-pack. Then we're getting to George Michalowski on Pitt. And then the card of the week. It's a jam-packed 1040 segment. It's Pomp and Joe without Pomp today. Back to the six-pack limits, please. You just told me an unbelievable item regarding the Buffalo Bills in the break there. Can you repeat that for the public?
So according to Adam Schefter, for the first time in Bills history, they're adding 10 limited partners to their ownership group, including Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady.
Great. Two more guys who never won a championship. This is borderline incredible. Who are they going to add next? Charles Barkley, Barry Sanders? Or collect guys who have never won a championship like
them? Our friend Dan Marino.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. That's actually funny. That of all the former NBA stars they could add, they add two of the most notable who have never won a championship.
Yeah. That is kind of fascinating. I didn't even think about it that way right off the top.
Next. All right. There's coaching situations evolving here. Which one would you rather see come to fruition? And I'm assuming that it's not breaking news on either. That they've actually signed here, although I don't have Twitter up in front of me, or X as it's called these days. Which would you rather see, Wonder Twin?
I know where this is going.
Bill Belichick at North Carolina or Rich Rod in Crowley Land?
I think this is honestly easy.
What?
It's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick coaching college football where he hasn't been in the game since, like, what, the early 70s?
Yeah.
I want to see how he adapts. How does he deal with boosters? How does Bill Belichick deal with NIL and recruiting high school kids? Like, I do not see this working out at North Carolina with Belichick if he goes there and becomes the coach. I don't, and I'm very fascinated to watch.
Belichick will be like the Godfather. You don't think this guy's going to be traveling across the country showing up at Mrs. Smith's house and talking in the living room, do you?
No chance.
He's going to have very well-paid people doing his work, and then when it finally comes down to it, he'll have people walking up to his desk. Remember in The Godfather? You know, when finally you need an answer, that's when you send the person up to talk to the Godfather, and he renders an immediate verdict whether they're going to help you or whether your fate's going to be a whole lot worse than that. That's going to be Belichick's role when it comes to recruiting and NIL and all that crap, I think. He's going to be a coach. He's going to be a closer. You have to close. I mean, part of the reason kids will go there, well, who am I kidding? The reason kids go anywhere is money. So it almost matters less who the coach is and what name is running your program.
I disagree. Culture matters still. Culture and relationships do matter. Money is obviously taking some substantial impact with NIL.
For the best players want to know one answer, limits. How much am I getting?
I'll give you an example.
How much am I getting?
I'll give you an example. Nick Singleton's the running back at Penn State. Could have went anywhere. Was getting offers from basically everywhere to transfer. more money than Penn State was willing to offer. He did not leave. He wanted to come back with his teammates, trusted his coach, and said that money isn't everything. He didn't want to leave. So there are some instances where it's the case.
There's an example right there. Yeah, if you were a college recruit right now, you want to go where there's the most money as an employee. Would you like to go somewhere where you make more money? I mean, most people do. There's going to be exceptions for sure.
But I'm sure comfort and familiarity is a true thing. It might not be number one.
No,
but it factors in significantly.
I think that who the coach is, the culture of the program, all of that matters way less than it used to. It's simply what dollar figure are you putting in that little box in the right hand corner of that check?
Yeah, I don't think it's completely decreased though. Like they're not robots. They're still people. Like they still have feelings.
Yeah, and people want money more than anything else. I think praise and praise, recognition, and money are the top three, and I think praise and recognition come in a distant second. That's my opinion. I mean, I was reading Bruce Feldman, and that was his too, that people who think that Belichick is going to draw people to North Carolina because he's Bill Belichick and has a route to the NFL are really missing the point of modern-day college sports, and that's exactly the way that Feldman phrased it was, recruits want an answer to this question. How much am I getting?
Yeah. I mean, that's very important. I'm not saying it's not.
And of course, there's exceptions, but you don't build a program on exceptions. You need tons of really good players.
That's why Bryce Underwood at Michigan decommitted from LSU to go to Michigan for how much? $21 million over 3 years?
Next. Thank you, Limitless Wonder. Sidney Crosby not happy that the Penguins got booed last night. Josh Yoey, I was reading his quotes in The Athletic today, and it was especially on the power play, which, by the way, still isn't very good. In fact, old Sully has split up his power play. When are we going to stop with this? You talk about the oldest topic on earth. Should the Penguins split their power play? I don't give a crap what they do, really, with their power play. Their power play still stinks. It's only 14th in the league, but that's worlds better than it was last year. I'll say that much for it. But Sid not happy with the booing last night. What did you make of it? Were you watching?
Yeah, and we're watching the replay of the game in the studio here as well. And I understand Sid's point in reasoning, and I hate to see the Penguins booed. I don't like it. I understand from the fan perspective they're paying customers why they're doing it. That doesn't mean I have to like it. So I understand Sid's frustration to it, but at the same time, play better. There's a reason that you can prevent the booing. Now, I'm not saying that Sid's playing bad. He's playing incredible this year. But as a team, they're not putting consistent performances together. I know 4-game winning streak was great, but here you go again, 7th place in the Metro.
Well, they've won 5 of 7, as Yoey pointed out, and Sid said, you wouldn't know it tonight, would you? I mean, getting booed on the power play in the third period. So he said, I think there's been some times this season when we deserved it. I don't think tonight was one of them. I'm with you on this. I get that he's very frustrated. I mean, a legendary all-time winner. And there's this reality around him that even when things are going well for a little while, they're not one of those teams that has a realistic chance. And all athletes know whether they do or don't. And that's got to be killing him. So I do get it. But the larger story is fans have a right to do whatever they want. And when you're turning out an overall product like the Penguins have been, they're going to boo. When your power play was historically bad this year and is struggling, or last year, and is struggling to the point this year where you're splitting it up between Sid and Gino, people are going to boo, man. People are tired of watching that on the power play. Nobody's booing Sid, of course. That will never happen. That should never happen. That's not even a thought. So they're not booing him individually, but he might have to get used to the fact that there's going to be a lot of boos in that arena, and that might be a good thing. Because the alternative is nobody's in the arena, and that's a possibility too. Lots of talk over these last 15 years, 20 years really, about how Pittsburgh is a hockey town. No, it's not. It's an event town. And you'll see that if the Penguins truly sink to the bottom for any period of time, nobody's going to go to the games. And as Yoey pointed out in his piece, what did he say, 2,500 unsold tickets, 2,500. And then he said probably 2,000 more no-shows. That's the bigger story. So honestly, the boos are good news compared to that. All right, Limits, we'll get back to a bunch of that, including more Steelers-Eagles stuff, Ben on Tomlin. In the meantime, George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now covers the Pitt Panthers basketball team. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And I might add that the 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. George, I appreciate you taking time with us again. You know, Virginia Tech, they're not exactly world beaters right now, but I say any road win, especially to kick off a season, and especially when you show some guts at the end, is a good road win. Would you agree?
I would, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I would agree. I mean, Pitt hadn't won at that stadium, at Virginia Tech, in I think 20-plus years. So it's a hard place to play. They've been on a road trip for the last 5 games. They haven't been playing at the Pete in over 3 weeks. It's been a long month and a half here to start this season for Pitt, and they've dealt with an injury. That adversity has been something. They've dealt with big wins, with, you know, intense losses. I mean, it's been a roller coaster of a year so far, and it's resulted in an 8-2 record. I think you got to be happy with that record, even though the win versus Virginia Tech wasn't the prettiest.
So upcoming on Pitt's schedule, George, we have a couple of exhibition games. Somebody named Sam Houston is on the schedule. And then Eastern Kentucky before that. And then Cal at home on New Year's Day. And unless they have Jason Kidd again, I think that's a very winnable game. This is a chance for Pitt to make some hay going into the real crux of their conference season. I see Duke, a visit to Duke on January 7th. But this is a chance to pile up some wins, yes?
It is. I mean, there's a good chance Pitt goes into that Duke game 12-2. Like, Cal and Stanford are both projected to be two of the worst teams in the ACC this year. Eastern Kentucky and Sam Houston, I wouldn't call them exhibitions as you did. They're actually two, like, pretty solid mid-major programs. But like you said, Pitt should win these games handily. They're a 20.5-point favorite, I just saw, tonight against Eastern Kentucky. And that's a team that Clemson only beat by 13. So Vegas really likes Pitt tonight. But they should take care of business against Eastern Kentucky, against Sam Houston. The Cal and Stanford games are ACC games. But look, they're home games. And they're home conference games. It's a great start to the conference slate this year, being able to play two of the worst teams in the league at home and kind of get your feet back underneath you. Hopefully get Damian Dunn back for that Duke game, which will be a doozy. I mean, ESPN game, 7:00, primetime at Duke, at Cameron Indoor. It'll be spectacular, and that's really when the season will kick into high gear for them.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy 3. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
George, I want to go back to last week in the game against Mississippi State. Coming off of a very emotional, dramatic win in overtime against Ohio State, it seemed like everybody in the ACC laid an egg against the SEC, and that was the case against Mississippi State. What were your main takeaways from the 90-57 loss?
Yeah, I mean, look, Austin, it's been a tough year shooting the ball for Pitt. Guillermo Diaz-Graham was 0-for-4 in that game. Ishmael Leggett was 0-for-4 in that game from three-point range. Ish Leggett overall was 3-for-14. Like, it was tough for these guys to score. It's not often you see Ish Leggett score 6 points. I haven't even mentioned the biggest deficiency that Pitt had that game, and that was rebounding. Mississippi State dominated the glass. I don't think I've ever seen rebounding margins like these from that game, 49-27. Mississippi State killed them on the glass. And I talked about it with you guys and then with Donnie Football the day of the game. You know, rebounding was something that we had to watch against Mississippi State. Now, I didn't think Pitt would lose by 33 points. I think you could look at coming off a big win and saying they came out slow, sure. But I think I was more so impressed with Mississippi State's game plan, how they executed it, and how they just bullied Pitt from the jump. That was a wake-up call for Pitt. I mean, 11 turnovers wasn't the worst thing in the world. I think shooting and rebounding are the two deficiencies with this team right now, and they really showed against Mississippi State.
How can Guillermo and Cam Corin kind of turn the tide in the rebounding department and make this as close to a strength as possible for Pitt? Because it seems like, you know, Guillermo, the ability to play as a guard but is working as a forward, it seems like the size advantage is a little bit questionable in some of these matchups.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I mean, Guillermo's never, and Jeff Capel said this, I think, last season, he's never going to be the, you know, classic big five man that's going to grab 10 rebounds a game and bully you inside. He's a different type of seven-footer. Like, he's a stretch big. And this year, I can't put it otherwise. Like, he has stunk in that role shooting the ball. I mean, he's 9-for-42 from three-point range this year, 21% from outside. So he hasn't been too effective on the offensive end. Rebounding, I don't think he's ever going to be the guy, aside from just like, okay, you're down there, you're 7 feet tall, hoping that Corin boxed out their five man. Guillermo, you have to grab the ball. But he's not going to be the guy who's going to out-physical even the 6'9", 240-pound big that Pitt will face all year in the ACC. I think it comes down to Corin bodying up, I mean, being able to play more than 20 minutes like he played against Mississippi State, and being physical, boxing out. Zach Austin also, I look to, and Jeff Capel talked about this after the Virginia Tech game. I think Zach Austin's number one, physicality, number two, strength, number three, athleticism. Like, he can be a really good rebounder. He grabbed 5 against Mississippi State. So he can also help out with this effort. I believe he had 5 again against Virginia Tech. So I think Zach Austin, Cam Corin, and Guillermo is where it starts. But like we've seen, like last year, Ish Leggett was the team's leading rebounder. Jalen Lowe's averaging, I believe, at least more than 5 rebounds a game this year. So it's a group effort. It's going to be rebounding by committee again this year. But look, they've got a 6'10" five man and a 7-foot four man. Like, this team should not ever, and I know they shot the ball really poorly, so there's going to be more rebound opportunities for the other team, but this team should never lose a rebounding battle like we saw against Mississippi State.
George, you're a wonderful man. At least I think you are. I've never met you, but Limit speaks of you in the highest of terms.
He is a wonderful man. I can vouch.
All right. Thank you, George. Talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, fellas.
See you, buddy. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GM Financial, high of 38 with a 75% chance of snow. I actually like that. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That means it's time for the general. Limits, do you have a guess as to the Card of the Week?
Maybe we get a Horowitz Card of the Week from Toronto.
Spencer Horowitz. Maybe we get the Luis Ortiz send-off card, or maybe, just maybe, General, we get a Josh Allen card for becoming the first quarterback in the history of professional football, or at least in the Super Bowl era, to run and pass for 3 touchdowns in the same game. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
Normally, any other week, you'd be dead on with Josh Allen. Can't overlook the Cobra this week.
Oh, of course. How could you not think of that, Limits?
I was living in the moment. I'm
so
sorry.
I'm sorry, too, General.
That's a great pick, General.
Of course it's the Cobra.
As the Cobra said, he's been waiting 15 years for this moment, so we're going to commemorate Dave Parker going into the Hall of Fame with a 1974 Topps Dave Parker rookie card. And then we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum and throw in a Spencer Horowitz rookie.
That's
beautiful.
Hopefully
he can hit like the Cobra.
Oh, man, was the Cobra fun to watch. There was nothing like Dave Parker on a hitting streak. Just the loudest cracks you'd hear, line drive home runs. I saw him in 1979. I came here on a pilgrimage with my dad because I loved the Pirates. We obviously didn't have Major League Baseball in Buffalo, although we had the Pirates AAA team. And I remember Parker hitting a ball. There was maybe 10,000 people, so a lot of the seats were empty. He hit a line drive, the trajectory of which never changed. It was out of the ballpark in a split second, and I thought it broke seats out there. There was nothing like him when he was on a bender, right?
It's ironic you tell that story because the last time he was in our store, someone handed him a seat back from Three River Stadium.
Yeah.
And he's still very quick-witted. He looks up at the guy and he goes, "This one must not be from right field." The guy says, "Why is that?"
Great.
He goes, "Because I'd have put a dent in this thing."
Yes. Yes.
So he never was a home run hitter. He just hit the ball, smashed it, and some of them happened to go over the fence.
The epitome of a five-tool player, General. I mean,
no doubt.
He stole
and
20 bases
very
twice.
Unheralded card.
Yeah.
It won't be unheralded anymore because now he's among the annals of the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Cobra.
What's he doing in the card?
It's just a standard baseball card shot from 1974. Mustard seed jerseys on. Looking at the batting cage, it looks like in San Francisco.
Oh,
beautiful
man.
Card.
There haven't been many like him come to the majors because at that time his knees were fine, so he was 6'5", whatever he was. I don't know, 240, 230, whatever he was. And he could run. He could throw. He won gold gloves. He won batting. How many guys have won multiple gold gloves and batting titles in their career? I know there's been some.
Not too many.
Not many. He did. I mean, why did it take this long? Thank you, General. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
What a man he is. On Limits, right up there with George Michalowski. We had two legends, didn't we?
Yes, I love hearing about the Generals. Have you been to the store recently? I know you've been there often.
Not recently,
He
no.
was showing me just the collection of cards that he has and just the entire inventory.
It's over a million. It's millions
yes,
of cards.
Millions of cards. It was incredible. I was really happy to be able to go up there a couple weeks ago.
I need a new photo for my man cave. I need a framed sport. Maybe the Cobra would be it. A framed photo of the Cobra because I had a painting that my daughter did when she was little to go with my sports photos in there, and she hates it. And she says when her friends come over, she's embarrassed. She's embarrassed about everything regarding me, notably my very existence these days. That's what happens.
Why is that?
Because she's
Do you
16.
Embarrass her all the time?
No, just by walking and breathing, yes.
Do you walk in and say, "Hello, friends. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Can I get you something? Can I get you some water? Can you, do you want some cookies?"
Sometimes I sing for them, her and her friends. I have a guitar, and then I come in and I say, I'll have a song about every one of you. Are you ready? And then I'll play it, and they'll all giggle and laugh.
And you wonder why she's embarrassed.
They love it. They laugh, and they video it, but she's mortified. So she told me, there was a guy at the house last week. She's like, she gave me a list of instructions.
Oh, yeah. How about that? A boyfriend over the house?
I don't think. A friend who was a boy. I don't know. I haven't seen him since. I don't know what happened to him.
You haven't been scouting out and trying to...
No, but she gave me a list of instructions, one of which, they all fell under the umbrella of don't embarrass me. Don't bring the guitar in. Don't even go in.
You don't have your ear up to the door trying to hear what's going on?
Believe me, I have my ways, but...
All right.
Yeah.
You're listening through the air ducts. Through the vents. You're in the bathroom listening through the vent. What are they saying in the other room? What's going on in there?
Believe me, Limits, when they get to be 16...
I was 16 that long ago.
Just by breathing and moving, you embarrass them. By existing. Your mere existence is a mortifying act.
Yeah, I remember that. It was never really that way with my dad. Maybe once or twice. More so with my mother.
Is it different with girls? I don't know. I've only had a girl here, and she's mortified by me, so that's all I can go by. Did I do fan weather? Yeah, I did, because I said snow at the end of
it. Yeah.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.